grace stuff, guys. How about I pray for our small groups? How about we all pray for our small groups? Feel free to agree with me and throw in your own bit. God's not a mono male. He can hear multiple prayers all at the same time. So, Father, we lift up our life groups to you this year, and we just pray for the leadership. Thank you for the leaders that put their hand up to lead for you. It's not always easy coming up with stuff all the time and leading and that, but thank you for them. We pray that you be around them, encourage them, and we pray that you be the glue that works throughout those groups. Thank you for the friendships, the dear relationships, the supporting things, people through trials and difficult situations, Father. And we just pray that you allow us to do life with one another, to encourage one another as we journey in you, and to inspire each other to run harder in you and just to keep going for you. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you. If you're a life group leader, thank you so much. It really is, like, as I say often, we can come to church and it's an hour and a half, but it just doesn't go deep enough. My growth as a believer came when I started going to life group and getting alongside people who became my big brother or my big sister or my parent type, you know, just encouraged, who challenged at times and just inspired me to just keep walking in God and keep turning up. So if you want to grow as God wants you to grow, belong to a group. Find a way. If you can't get to a physical one, maybe there's another way, but try and be at a group. Don't do life on your own. We're not designed to be islands. Now, it's now time for the three-hour sermon, which we haven't got time for. Our time is pretty much gone. It's a relief, isn't it? I have got wads of notes, like, enough for days to keep you mind-boggled. Where is he going now? Yeah. One of the things, I don't know if I told you, but that the elders and Gina and myself, we got together and did a day retreat earlier in the year. And the overarching topic of the whole day was, how do we build disciples who build disciples who build disciples? That is basically pretty much all I'm fixated on these days. And the older I get, the more I fixate on it. Living out Jesus's commandments, the Great Commission, go and make disciples. And so I spoke at the All Leaders meeting last week and kind of chatted around some stuff around that. And at the end, I played a clip. And I want to play this clip to you. It's about 8 minutes long, but it's so good. I think you'll just be so encouraged seeing it. Why I play it is, it's easy to think that I don't have the skill set to be effective as a disciple maker or to do what God wants me to do. But often it's not complicated. We just have to be ourselves. We don't have to be someone else. We just have to be ourselves and just do what God's given us and put on our heart to do. And so there's a clip here, and it's just this little old man in a street called George Street that you'll hear about. And he just basically just has a little chat with people for a period of time that you'll hear about. I don't want to steal any thunder. But if you think about how technical what he was doing, it's not technical, and yet it was tremendously useful to God and living out Jesus' commandment. As you watch it, I want you to ponder, what is God wanting me to do? What is God wanting me to do? How is God wanting me to do it? Maybe it's just bake the neighbors a meal. Maybe it doesn't have to be anything huge. It's whatever God wants, and quite often it's smaller than we think. We are great at making things complicated when God actually wants them to be quite stripped back and quite simple and quite lifelike. But we make them into, we're meant to get together and do life together, but we make them into religions, you know, and we kind of take God's ideas and we just complicate them so they disqualify us, you know, because they've always got to be complicated or they're not valid. So I'll show you this clip anyway and then I'll talk at the end.
This message is non-copyright. Duplication is encouraged.
A number of years ago, in a Baptist church in Crystal Palace in southern London, the Sunday morning service was closing and a stranger stood up at the back, raised his hand, he said, "Excuse me, Pastor, can I share a little testimony?" The pastor looked at his watch, he said, "You've got 3 minutes." And this man proceeded. He said, "I've just moved into this area. I used to live in another part of London. I came from Sydney in Australia. And just a few months back, I was visiting some relatives. And I was walking down George Street." You know where George Street is in Sydney? It runs from the business hub out to the rocks, the colonial area. And he said, "A strange little white-haired man stepped out of a shop doorway, put a pamphlet in my hand and he said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" He said, "I was astounded by those words. Nobody had ever told me that. I thanked him courteously, and all the way on British Airlines back to Heathrow, this puzzled me. I called a friend who lived in this new area where I'm living now, and thank God he was a Christian. He led me to Christ, and I'm a Christian, and I want a fellowship here." And Baptists love testimonies like it. Everyone applauded and welcomed him into the fellowship. That Baptist pastor flew to Adelaide in Australia the next week. And 10 days later, in the middle of a 3-day series in a Baptist church in Adelaide, a woman came to him for counseling and he wanted to establish where she stood with Christ. And she said, "I used to live in Sydney. And just a couple of months back, I was visiting friends in Sydney, doing some last minute shopping down George Street. And a strange little white-haired man, elderly man, stepped out of a shop doorway, offered me a pamphlet and said, 'Excuse me, ma'am, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" She said, "I was disturbed by those words. When I got back to Adelaide, I knew this Baptist church was on the next block from me, and I sought out the pastor, and he led me to Christ. So, sir, I'm telling you that I am a Christian." Now, this London pastor was now very puzzled. Twice within a fortnight, he'd heard the same testimony. He then flew to preach in the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Perth. And when his teaching series was over, the senior elder of that church took him out for a meal. And he said, "Mate, how'd you get saved?" He said, "I grew up in this church from the age of 15 through Boys Brigade. Never made a commitment to Jesus, just hopped on the bandwagon like everybody else. And because of my business ability, grew up to a place of influence. I was on a business outing in Sydney just 3 years ago, and an obnoxious, spiteful little man stepped out of a shop doorway, offered me a religious pamphlet, cheap junk, and accosted me with a question, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' He said, I tried to tell him I was a Baptist elder. He wouldn't listen to me. He said, I was seething with anger all the way home on Qantas to Perth. He said, I told my pastor thinking he would sympathize with me, and my pastor agreed. He had been disturbed for years, knowing that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and he was right. And my pastor led me to Jesus just 3 years ago." Now, this London preacher flew back to the UK and was speaking at the Keswick Convention in the Lake District. And he threw in these three testimonies. At the close of his teaching session, 4 elderly pastors came up and said, "We got saved between 25 and 35 years ago, respectively, through that little man on George Street giving us a tract and asking us that question." He then flew the following week to a similar Keswick Convention in the Caribbean to missionaries. And he shared the testimonies. At the close of his teaching session, 3 missionaries came up and said, "We got saved between 15 and 25 years ago, respectively, through that little man's testimony and asking us that same question on George Street in Sydney." Coming back to London, he stopped outside Atlanta, Georgia, to speak at a naval chaplain's convention. And when his 3 days of revving these naval chaplains up, over 1,000 of them, in soul winning, the chaplain general took him out for a meal. And he said, "How'd you become a Christian?" He said, "Well, it was miraculous. I was a rating on a United States battleship and I lived a reprobate life. We were doing exercises in the South Pacific and we docked in Sydney Harbour for replenishments. We hit King's Cross with a vengeance. I got blind drunk. I got on the wrong bus, got off in George Street. And as I got off the bus, I thought it was a ghost. This elderly white-haired man jumped in front of me, pushed a pamphlet in my hand and said, 'Sailor, are you saved? If you die tonight, you're going to heaven.' He said, the fear of God hit me immediately. I was shocked sober and ran back to the battleship, sought out the chaplain. The chaplain led me to Christ. And I soon began to prepare for the ministry under his guidance. And here I am in charge of over 1,000 chaplains and we're bent on soul winning today." That London preacher 6 months later, flew to do a convention for 5,000 Indian missionaries in a remote corner of northeastern India. And at the end, the Indian missionary in charge, a humble little man, took him home to his humble little home for a simple meal. And he said, "How did you, as a Hindu, come to Christ?" He said, "I was in a very privileged position. I worked for the Indian diplomatic mission. And I traveled the world. And I am so glad for the forgiveness of Christ and his blood covering my sin, because I'd be very embarrassed if people found out what I got into." He said, "One bout of diplomatic service took me to Sydney. And I was doing some last-minute shopping, laden with parcels of toys and clothing for my children, walking down George Street. And this courteous little white-haired man stepped out in front of me, offered me a pamphlet, and said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" He said, "I thanked him very much, but this disturbed me. I got back to my town, I sought out the Hindu priest, and he couldn't help me. But he gave me some advice. He said, 'Just to satisfy your curious mind, nothing else, go and talk to the missionary in the mission house at the end of the road.' And that was fatal advice." He said, "Because that day the missionary led me to Christ. I quit Hinduism immediately and then began to study for the ministry. I left the diplomatic service, and here I am, by God's grace, in charge of all these missionaries, and we are winning hundreds of thousands of people to Christ." Well, 8 months later, that Crystal Palace Baptist pastor was ministering in Sydney, in Gymea, southern suburb of Sydney. And he said to the Baptist minister, "Do you know a little man, an elderly little man, who witnesses and hands out tracts on George Street?" And he said, "I do. His name is Mr. Genor, G-E-N-O-R. But I don't think he does it anymore. He's too frail and elderly." The man said, "I want to meet him." 2 nights later, they went around to this little apartment, knocked on the door, and this tiny, frail little man opened the door. He sat them down, made them some tea, and he was so frail he was slopping tea into the saucer as he shook. And as he sat with them, this London preacher told him all these accounts over the previous 3 years. This little man sat with tears running down his cheeks. He said, "My story goes like this." He said, "I was a rating on an Australian warship, and I lived a reprobate life, and in a crisis, I really hit the wall, and one of my colleagues, whom I gave literal hell, was there to help me. He led me to Jesus, and the change in my life was night to day in 24 hours, and I was so grateful to God. I promised God that I would share Jesus in a simple witness with at least 10 people a day. As God gave me strength. Sometimes I was ill, I couldn't do it, but I made up for it for other times. I wasn't paranoid about it, but I have done this for over 40 years, and in my retirement years, the best place was on George Street. There were hundreds of people. I got lots of rejections, but a lot of people courteously took the tracts." And he said, "In 40 years of doing this, I've never heard of one single person coming to Jesus until today." Do you know, I would say that has to be commitment. That has to be just sheer gratitude and love for Jesus to do that, not hearing of any results. Margarita did a little count. That's 146,100 people that simple little non-charismatic Baptist man influenced somehow to Jesus. And I believe what God was showing that Baptist minister was the tip of the tip of the tip of the tip of this iceberg. Goodness knows how many more had been arrested for Christ and were doing huge jobs out in the mission field. Mr. Genor died 2 weeks later. And can you imagine the reward he went home to in heaven? I doubt if his face would ever have appeared on Charisma magazine. I doubt if there would ever have been a write-up with a photograph in Billy Graham's Decision magazine, as beautiful as those magazines are. Nobody except a little group of Baptists in southern Sydney knew about Mr. Genor. But I'll tell you, his name was famous in heaven. Heaven knew Mr. Genor. And you can imagine the welcome and the red carpet and the fanfare he went home to when he arrived in glory.
The little things we do matter. The little things we do for God matter. What little things does God want you to do? I'll pray. Ben can come up too, please. Father, we thank you for that clip. We thank you for Mr. Gaynor. What a wonderful man. Thank you for him. Thank you for the people who he touched, who know you because of him, his little thing that he brought to you. And we just pray that you'd assist us to do little things that matter for you too, Father. Not because we see fruit, not because we're aware that they hear great stories of the impact, but just out of commitment to you and loyalty to you, Father, faithfulness to you. I pray for every single person here that this week as they go out, that they would take you out, share you around, practically and verbally. Be glorified with our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If anybody needs prayer, we're always here at the end of the services to pray for you. Feel free to get some prayer. Cafe is running, will be running in a second. As I prayed, take God out and share him around. Have a great week.
Thanks, Dean. I love that story, listening to that when we had it at the leaders at night, and it touches my heart to hear it again. So thanks for that. We're going to sing a new song again, so if you'd like to stand with us, we're going to sing Firm Foundations. Thanks.